Buck 92.3, where country legends live, and Buck92.com. Welcome to Central Michigan's award-winning sports destination, the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, winner of Best Podcast from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. This is your home for everything local, everything competitive, and everything that matters in Central Michigan sports. From Friday Night Lights to hardwood battles, from high school standouts to the stories behind the teams, you're getting the best sports coverage anywhere. Now, welcome to what many call the best sports show ever for Central Michigan high school athletes. All Things Sports with your host, JW, and Buck 92.3 Sports Director, Austin Shattuck. Let's dive in.
Hello, and welcome into the third week of July on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, sponsored by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. Jeremy, third week of July, that only means one thing. We are about 38 days away from high school football back in mid-Michigan in the Isabella County area, so
well,
we're pumped for that.
Not just this area, the whole state of Michigan will be back.
But we're focusing on this area, Jeremy.
Yeah, but it's football, so we could talk the whole state of Michigan. So
yeah, that's true.
Even
and not
Upers,
just high school.
You know, even it's the college. Upers are up there, and so we can talk football, and you know, it's going to be back in probably a little over a month.
Yeah, and we just got done talking with Coach Spranger today. That'll be part two of a four-episode series of talking to some high school football coaches around the area. Started with Coach Mack, then Coach Spranger, and then we'll go on with Coach Russell, who's new with Shepherd, and then Coach Gross will figure it out, or we'll end it out as well. And hopefully we can get Coach Wheaton on there, too, for Sacred Heart. But that's coming up in the near future. Tonight we got Gabe Kaufman from Montebello joining us to talk about his high school playing days. It's going to be a fun show, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. He was a great kid. Mm-hmm. Well, is a great kid that we interviewed. And it was pretty neat because we did Xavier.
Yeah.
And Gabe's dad reached out to us and was like, hey, here's another kid that you need to talk to. And we made it happen. So if you're out there listening and you know someone that you think they'd want to be on the sports show, reach out to me at jeremy@wczy.net, or you can reach out to Austin at austin@wczy.net, and we'll make it happen. We'll get you on the radio and talk about what you got going on and just have fun with it.
Yeah, just have a conversation, you know, bellied up like we're at a bar here, just talking, you know, talking about
where's
what's
the cold
going on.
Ones? Where's the cold ones? If we're bellying up to the bar, where's the cold ones at in here?
Well, we don't offer those here at Buck 92, but we can if you want to. No, we won't offer.
We can go to Freddy's.
Yeah.
Go to our friend at Freddy's there, or we can go over to the casino and hit the sports bar over there.
Yeah, and speaking of sports bar, excellent segue.
Yeah, that, you know, I was going to bring that in somehow, and I just accidentally happened.
Perfect.
But you spent a couple days over there the last couple weeks at our friends over there at the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. You know, thanks for the sponsorship for here on the sports show. But let's talk a little bit about what was going on over there. Some interesting and exciting stuff happening over there at the casino.
Yeah, certainly interesting, that's for sure, because the interesting thing that sparked me was the Great Lakes Royals, the new professional basketball team, semi-professional basketball team, coming to not only the great state of Michigan, but here in mid-Michigan, and they're going to be competing in the Basketball Super League. And if you're asking, you're questioning right now, what is the Basketball Super League? Well, A, that's a good question to ask. And B, I'll fill you in. It's teams up in Canada that are probably, it's a Canadian-dominated professional basketball league. And the Great Lakes Royals are the first Michigan team to be a part of it.
Yeah, they're moving south just like the old Smoke did this past week. And we're bringing some smoke to the casino, and we're going to have the Great Lakes Royals, and it's going to be awesome. They're going to play in the ballroom.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. That's the interesting part of it.
Yeah.
If you're questioning again how they're going to play in the ballroom, well, that's a good question, because they're going to have about 700 fans, or at least hope to, a max of 700 fans.
I know I want to be there, though, for the first game.
Well, the one thing that the front office staff mentioned at this media day, which was last Monday, a week ago from today, is that they wanted to bring an environment to Mount Pleasant and to this area where you don't have to drive all the way down to Detroit to see the Detroit Pistons play.
Yeah, And I'm excited because it's from what I gathered from the, you know, talking with you and talking with Bob, is it's going to be like players that used to be in the NBA and they're still wanting to play. And
Or G League players.
Yeah.
Which it's basically this league, this basketball super league, as you can think of it, as a lower league than the G League.
Yeah.
So it's not the it goes G League and then the NBA, but now the basketball super league is a little, it's before the G League. And it's players that kind of got, I don't want to say afterthought, but I kind of want to say that. They are coming back. They got cut or they went overseas, and now they could come back and play for Coach Keno Davis.
Yeah, he's a local guy right here in Mount Pleasant. Mm-hmm. Used to be the Chippewas basketball coach.
Yeah.
And now he's going to take over the Great Lakes Royals, which is a cool name.
Yeah.
A cool name, and they got a pretty cool logo. I know it's been shared on both Facebook pages, the My 104.3 Facebook and the Buck 92 Facebook page. I'm excited for it. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, to go back with that logo and the colors, it's purple and gold, I believe, which is, you don't usually see purple in any logos, any professional logos these days. So I'm all for that.
Except for the Minnesota Vikings.
Well,
Is it the
it is that Minnesota Vikings purple color.
Yeah.
So
I think Bob was telling me that the owner or whatever is a Vikings fan or something.
No, the owner of the casino, I believe, or has something to do with Soaring Eagle Casino.
Okay, yeah.
And he kind of, well, it's funny, we'll talk about a little bit later, but he showed up, there was a Lions media day as well later that week, and he had a speech in front of all the media members and all the people at the casino. He wore a Calvin Johnson jersey that was in Honolulu blue, but under the jersey, he wore a Minnesota Vikings t-shirt.
Well, I've done that too, because my best friend that passed away a few years ago, or a couple years ago, was a big Green Bay Packers fan. So me and another buddy of ours, I got Green Bay Packers shirts for the funeral.
Yeah.
And so I had a Green Bay Packers shirt on that we wore during the funeral. But then, so now the only time I wear that Green Bay Packers shirt is when the Lions play the Packers. At home, not when they play over in Green Bay, but when they play at home, I'll wear my Green Bay Packers shirt underneath my Lions jersey.
And that's just the only time?
I don't wear that Green Bay Packers shirt any other time. I've only worn it twice.
Hmm. Well, I wouldn't wear it to begin with, but, you know.
No, it's just out of respect for my friend that, you know, that passed away. So we were both big football fans, and it was always fun razzing him, and he would razz me, and so. It's just a thing I do once a year. I wear it when the Lions play the Packers at home.
Yeah.
So
that's good that you remember to wear that. That's cool. Cool tradition. So
yeah.
But and speaking of Great Lakes Royals, you know, you mentioned the team name. It's a great name. And now they're in this mid-Michigan area. There are two teams, two professional teams that have Great Lakes in them.
Yeah,
the Great Lakes Loons and the Great Lakes Royals.
Yeah.
And that's when I first heard about this Great Lakes Royals media day that we got invited to, Bob and I, I was like, Great Lakes Royals, it's a cool name, but like, you know, I was working at the Great Lakes Loons that day when I got invited to this media day. I'm thinking, two Great Lakes teams, and I could potentially be working for both of them. And we might actually be at Latitude Media here, you know, trying to come up with a deal to broadcast some of their games this year.
That would be fun. That'd be an excellent time. And, we love our partnership with the casino over there, the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's just a great partnership. Being able to hang out over there and concerts and now the Royals, it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this Facebook post from the Great Lakes Royals. Their press release that they did on July 13th last Monday. And a lot of the comments are saying, it's so excited for everybody in the organization. And then the next couple of comments are, when can we get our swag?
Yeah.
I'd be down to get a Royals t-shirt.
Yeah, Royals t-shirt would be cool. But the owners, I think they own the arena football team that's over there at the Dow Event Center, if I'm not
Michigan
mistaken.
Arsenal. There's another new team coming. Yeah, to mid-Michigan.
I think they're part of that too, but I'm not 100% sure, but... it's just exciting to get new professional sports in our area.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's nice about it is bringing something local And like I said, the concerts at the casino are awesome because they're only like, I live in St. Louis, so it's 20 minutes down the road.
Yeah.
And you don't have to drive 2 hours. You know, that's why I like going to the Loons or the White Cat or like, you know, Lansing. You know, it's 40 minutes either way for me.
Yeah.
But I love going over to the Loons. It's fun going over and watching games over there.
Well, also, it's something special, too, because you purely don't have to go to the casino anymore just to gamble or watch a concert. You can now go to watch a good, entertaining professional basketball game.
But you can also drop a couple dollars in and hopefully win some.
Not me. I'd rather spend it, save it in an IRA. Put it in an IRA, invest. Well,
I would probably eat some food over there because they got some good food over there, too.
They do.
In the food court and all that. So
they do.
Great, great location, and it's just awesome to be part of the area and having Soaring Eagle be here. So,
well, I told my grandma about this, who is probably has a minority stake in the casino, as much time she spends there. But I was telling her that they're going to be playing in the ballroom. And she was questioning, too, of how they were going to get all these fans in the bleachers and the ballroom. But, you know, hopefully she can check out a game. And
standing room only.
Yeah. Well, she would like to sit. She wouldn't like to stand.
I don't stand very long either, so.
Well, yeah, that is true.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's very exciting, though, to have all this stuff in the area and just being part of it.
Yeah. And it was day one of two different media days this past week at the Soaring Eagle Casino. The other media day was kind of a little bit, I wouldn't say bigger, but professionally wise bigger with the dealing with the Detroit Lions opposed to the Great Lakes Royals. Long story short, Detroit Lions and Soaring Eagle agreed on another 5-year multi-year extension for the Soaring Eagle Casino.
To be a sponsor for the Lions.
Correct.
And they do some cool stuff. Every Sunday, I don't know exactly what Lions, former Lions players, but I know Herman Moore's been there to the, is it the Ascend bar over
Ascend
there?
Ascend Sports Bar.
Yeah, yep. So I know every Sunday they have a watch party, and it's just a great time. Mm-hmm. And they have some, you know, like former Lions players come in and hang out and just get to watch the game and eat some good food and have a couple cold beverages.
Yeah, and another thing, too, with that deal is there's an Ascend Sports Bar going down to Ford Field.
Yeah, you'll be
not sure where it's going to be.
But there's plenty of room down there for it, though.
Yeah, it had to be probably in the concourse somewhere.
Yeah.
Or is it going to be only offered for suite level? That's my question. Is it going to be like people who have a bar offered only for at the suite level?
Yeah, I don't know. It's something that we'll have to figure out, and we'll keep an eye on it and let everyone know about, you know, if you're going down to a Lions game, check out the new Soaring Eagle sports bar.
Yeah, and this came exactly from their press release. It says, over the next 5 years, guests and Lions fans can look forward to exclusive promotions, unique events, special activations, and one-of-a-kind opportunities that celebrate the spirit of One Pride and the Pride of Michigan.
Yeah.
So,
I said, they have a great time every Sunday. I mean, you can head over there to the Ascend Sports Bar and just enjoy the time and watch the game, and just you're there with a bunch of other fans. And that's what's cool about it.
Oh, here it is right here. Located on the northwest upper concourse of Ford Field. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Get a couple drinks at the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Soaring Eagle Sports Bar at Ford Field.
Yeah.
There you go. Come down to a Lions game, enjoy Dan Campbell going for it on fourth down and
eating kneecaps.
Getting a couple of mimosas in or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever they offer. I'm sure they'll offer anything on tap down there.
Probably.
So we'll see. But, you know, that's down in Detroit. That's football season coming up right around the corner. We're in the midst of a baseball season right now. And Jeremy, before we went on air, you mentioned that the Tigers are about to play their 100th game in the matter of 20 half hour or so.
8 o'clock, they first pitch, 8:05 or something like that, I think it said.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Down in the south side.
Yeah, because right now their record's 46-53, so that gives them 99 right there. And then today,
triple digits,
will be the 100th game. So after today, there's only 62 left.
Yeah. This season really has flown by, and there was... It's been a roller coaster because in April, in March, well,
April and May.
Yeah, April and May.
May, they were terrible.
Yeah, May was 6-22, and now June, they clawed their way back a little bit. Now, like you said, 46-53, only 7 games under 500. And that may be bad if you're in the National League. If you're in the American League, that's pretty decent, actually. So
yeah, because they're talking about being buyers at the trade deadline, which is coming up here in another week or two or so.
Yeah. And, well, yeah. I think, honestly, Jeremy, if I gave my expert opinion, which I don't have an opinion in this, but I think they're going to do it.
Everyone's got an opinion.
Well, I don't have a say in it, I should say. I have an opinion, but I don't have a say. I think they're going to, Scott Harris and Chris Illich is going to compete in all three aspects. I think they're going to try and hold most of the players they have. I think they're going to try and buy some back-end relievers, and I think they're going to try and sell. I don't know who they're going to sell, and I don't know if I want to mention Tarik Skubal in that selling category, but you know, you're only getting 7 games out, or 3.5 games out of a wild card spot with 60-some games to play.
Here's my thing, though, about Skubal, right? So Job is not too far from off from coming back. Yeah. So you have another starter there.
Yeah.
Do you get rid of Skubal, trade him, because his contract's up at the end of the year? And,
either way. Yeah.
And so do you trade him now and get something in return for him? Or do you just trade him at the end of the season? Or,
you got to get some. Now's your shot.
Yeah.
With the trade deadline a couple of weeks away.
Because, you know, he's either going to go to the Yankees or Dodgers or
Braves,
you know, somewhere along those lines that are a contender.
World Series contender.
Yeah. And so,
because I would say the Tigers are contenders right now.
Well, yeah, they could. I mean,
but they're not World Series contenders.
No, not with the bullpen.
No, the teams you just mentioned are World Series contenders, and they certainly will be definitely World Series contenders with the addition of Skubal.
Yeah, and the Tigers would do so much better with Skubal pitching. Is when he pitches, they get no run support for him.
Yeah,
and that's what's frustrating. And it's like, come on, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like you said, it's above my pay grade.
Yeah.
And I can just speculate like you and just say, hey, yeah, let's get rid of them and bring somebody in. But who do you bring in? And who are they willing to give up for Skubal? That's the thing, too.
All I know is whoever gets Skubal is you're going to get a massive haul back to the Motor City, whether that be major. And I believe it would be at least 1 or 2 major league level players.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple minor league players as well. But.
Or would you want draft picks?
You know, that's a good question, but I don't think if you're in a win now mode, which I think you might
draft
be.
Draft picks aren't an option.
Yeah, draft picks won't be that option, especially with Max Clark coming up, Kevin McGonigal already in the system, you know, Jose Briseño, who's now back from an injury at the minor league level. There's so many more minor league pros. Bryce Rainer with the West Michigan Whitecaps.
Yeah.
He's.
What? Does Baez ever come back?
He had that gruesome leg injury, and I haven't heard much about him. I know he's hitting down in his Florida, probably his home state.
Yeah.
But I don't see him coming back until who knows.
Yeah, and that's so
late August.
Yeah, there's still a bunch on the disabled list, but
yeah,
what do you do? I mean, because I'm not a big Baez fan at all.
No,
he just kind of swings at everything. And
well, there's been some key role players contributing right now. Hao-Yu Lee, Eduardo Valencia, James Outman.
Yeah, did you see, though, they traded
Jemai Jones.
Jones, and then his second at bat with the Red Sox, he goes yard.
Over the Green Monster.
Well, and who are we going to get from the Red Sox with that trade? Because it was a player to be named later.
No, it wasn't even that. I think it was you traded Jemai Jones for U.S. currency. That was it.
Oh, I thought it was.
I think it was just U.S. currency.
Okay, because I thought it was a player to be named later is what I saw, but
maybe
I could be wrong.
Maybe it could be, but maybe with Scott, you know, maybe that's a foreshadowing of the Tigers trying to make a big move, is they need more currency to make that move. They need some more cheddar.
Well, so, they got lots of money. Places, I mean, when we were down there, a place was packed. So, you know, the Illiches, Chris has got to open that wallet of his a little bit and let the moss get out of it and spend some of that cheddar and let's get a World Series here.
Well, yeah, that's the end goal for them, I would presume, hopefully. But with Tarik Skubal not getting the deal that he wanted entering this current season, I that seems to believe, do the Tigers really do have that money? I think they do.
They do.
They have one of the best, I think they're top 10 in MLB in payroll right now.
Yeah.
But the thing is, most of their contracts, that they're heavy contracts that they're paying off right now, is on the injured list. Javi Baez, injured. Yeah. You know, Gleyber Torres, injured, but he's on his way back. Tarek Skubal was injured. He was their highest paid player right now. And Justin Verlander, one start down in Arizona, and he's still injured.
Yeah.
And, 14 mil right now.
And he's going to, he'll be in the front office or coaching staff at some point at the end of the season because, one, he already said he's retiring, so we don't have to worry about, is he coming back next year? No, he's going to retire. He already said that. And he still has his places here in Detroit. Well, you know, when he left and went to Houston,
he kept his place.
Yeah, he kept all of his places here in Detroit. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, his house isn't. So I could see him either being in the front office at some point or some kind of a coach manager for the Tigers.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, he would fit perfect.
You seen him the one game, you seen him and Skubal were sitting next to each other and they were just talking baseball. So he's got the knowledge to be a coach. It's just a matter of, does he want to do it or not?
Teach the young guys how to throw a curve.
Yeah.
They probably already know. But anyways, no, we definitely agree with that. You can see JV being in the front office.
Did you see his interview after, like at the All-Star game? He was talking about how his pitches have progressed over the years. He used to hold the ball a certain way, and now as he's getting older, he's changed everything.
I didn't see that.
You have to look it up and see the interview that they did with him. I don't remember if it was before or after the All-Star game, but I seen an interview, and it was pretty neat how he was talking about how he used to hold the ball this way, and then, you know, it started to do something different, so he changed it, and it was just pretty neat to be able to see him talking about it.
Yeah, explaining what goes into their throwing tactics is always a good, because it's the younger generation needs to know how the older generation pitched and thrived. So
and you're looking at it, he's one of the last of the old timers that went multiple innings, you know, went deep, you know, and pitched. I think he pitched 200 innings or something like that last year.
Yeah.
And so pitchers don't pitch 200 innings anymore.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so he's like one of the last of the old timers that, you know, can go the distance and pitch, you know, 7-8 innings, you know, before you have to bring a closer in.
Yeah. And speaking of old timers, I mean, this has nothing to do with being old or not, but it's quite opposite actually being young. Kevin McGonigal, man, he keeps breaking records. You know,
he's something else.
Stud.
Yeah, I'm glad they locked him up for, what, 10 years or something?
I think so. Eight years,
150 mil or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Which is worth it. He's going to be an absolute phenom at the plate. His defense is spectacular.
Just wait till, like you said, Max Clark and all that. Wait till you get these other kids up here that are going to be good. Tigers in the next 5 years are going to be contenders.
Youthful movement, especially, it all depends really too what they do with Skubal.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, they could get a massive haul for him and game over for the American League Central.
Uh-huh.
But by the way, the American League Central, it's a little bit trickier to win that right now, 6.5 games out for the Tigers in fourth place. But it's not like it's out of reach with the way the Central has been playing. And this is the stretch right now in the end of July, beginning of August, where the Tigers, once they get out of the series with the Chicago Cubs, can really make some ground and win some series.
Yeah, because you got the White Sox that are 52-46. The Guardians are 52-48.
Winnable.
Twins are 49-51. So you only have two teams that have records over 500 in the American League Central.
Yeah,
you know, you got the Tigers at 46-53, and then the Royals are at 40-60.
Mm-hmm.
And then wild card, you're looking, they're towards the bottom, 4.5 back, but the Blue Jays and Astros are still 4.5 back. And then you got the Twins, Orioles are only 2 back, and then the Mariners are only 1 back. So you're not that far out of a wild card spot either.
Yeah.
So it's.
But if you're. if you're aiming for a deep run in the playoffs, the American League Central has to be on the top of your mind. Winning that division has to, because then you get, you're guaranteed a home series. The wild card, you never know what you get with the American League East, with the Yankees, Rays, Red Sox, who are now the hottest team in baseball, 13 straight wins. So you want to guarantee yourself a crown of the American League Central, and that can happen with, like I said, the opponents coming up: Kansas City, Baltimore, Athletics, Seattle, San Francisco, you know, as we get closer to August.
Yeah.
So, winnable series, that's for sure, especially these next two against Kansas City this weekend and then Baltimore next week, a week from today. So, we'll see what happens with the Tigers.
They got to start smacking the ball around, though, like they did just before the All-Star break.
Which they are.
Yeah.
Torkelson had two home runs in Anaheim on Saturday, and he had a grand slam. So, they're starting to hit pretty good, but... like you said, Tigers, they're in Chicago tonight, and Jack Flaherty's on the bump against a tough, pesky lineup in the Chicago Cubs. So they start here in about 20, 30 minutes or so. And anything else we want to talk about here? Or?
I think we got it all in. We talked about the Royals. We talked about the Tigers,
the Lions,
stuff going on over at the casino, and just great to be part of that casino over there, and just letting everyone know about what's going on over there. And it's going to be exciting to see the Great Lakes Royals playing some basketball at the ballroom.
Certainly will be exciting. One more thing I do want to mention before we wrap up part one here is kind of a teaser to part two. Gabe Kaufman, he's set to join our show. Quarterback, senior quarterback from Montebello. He's had a fantastic career playing for the Montebello Mustangs, and he previews what the season's going to look like coming up for the Mustangs on the gridiron this fall. And that's all coming up next on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
Stay right there. More local sports talk is coming up as the Buck 92.3 Sports Show continues right here on Buck 92.3 and Buck92.com.
With traditions and beliefs deeply rooted into cultural history, the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe of Michigan is proud to present one of our seven grandfather teachings as a part of the celebration of Native American Heritage Month. Truth. To live in truth is to recognize the differences between right and wrong, and be faithful to ourselves as well as to the world around us, even when the right way is not always the easiest way. This message is brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe of Michigan, working together for our future.
The Forum Apartments offers a premier location for off-campus living at an affordable price. Spacious 1 and 2 bedroom apartments available and just a walk away from Central Michigan University. Enjoy the year-round indoor heated pool. The Forum Apartments on Appian Way off of Mission and Mount Pleasant.
You're back with the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, Central Michigan's award-winning sports coverage, with sports director Austin Shattuck and JW. Let's get back to it.
Welcome back into the Buck 92.3 Sports Show. Austin Shattuck, Jeremy Wood back with you on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, sponsored by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. Another month in the summer, another week in the summer means another special guest. And this week's special guest is an Isabella County student athlete from Montebello. He's kind of the head of the snake for the Montebello Mustangs for the football team. He's going into his third year as a varsity quarterback for these Mustangs, and his name is Gabe Kaufman. Gabe, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. We're glad to have you on the show. We're glad to get to talk to you about a somewhat local team for Isabella County. I know Montebello and Sacred Heart usually, well, they're in the same conference for football in the Mid-State Activities Conference, but you know, it's good to get some different athletes from around different areas as well. So Gabe, before we get rolling with this interview, I want to get some background information on you. So this will be your third season at quarterback for the Mustangs at the varsity level, and all three seasons have been with Coach Webb. What's it been like kind of learning from him on the sidelines?
I mean, he's great, man. He's very open, very willing to take players' input, and he's always looking for ways to fool the other team, whether it be changing up certain schemes, adding in new plays week by week. It's just great having him around. He's a great coach.
Yeah, and there's another coach on the sidelines, too, that probably holds a special place in your heart with your family. What has it meant for you to kind of have your dad out there on the sidelines with you as the QB and wide receivers coach?
It's awesome, man. Like, I'm watching film week by week, and it's great to have a coach at my house. I can literally ask any question, like, hey, what do we think about running this concept when we see this defense? He'll give me honest input, then I'll run it through Coach Webb and see if we can get some common ground.
So you and your dad probably kind of do a lot of the film watching at your house then, not at the school?
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully there also is a little bit more positive interactions than negative interactions between you and your dad on the sidelines. But can you kind of share some of those moments that you and your dad kind of talk about throughout the game or throughout practices as well?
I mean, yeah, obviously there's positive and negatives. He's the most honest guy out there on the field with me. You know, there's always great interactions. I make a great play. He's giving me high fives, dapping me up. You know, when I make a not so great play, he doesn't necessarily yell at me, but he does a good job coaching me like, hey, you should have done this right here.
Okay, which makes sense. You know, growing up, you've been with your dad all the time. But when did your dad kind of take that position as the Mustangs wide receiver quarterback coach?
He's been on varsity for a couple years now. Then he dropped down to JV in middle school for a little bit and came back up. And it's been great ever since.
Yeah, that sounds like it's a great, good family connection on the sidelines every Friday night for you and him. But specifically focusing on last year in which you led the Mustangs to an 11-2 first place finish in the Mid-State Activities Conference, what were some highlighting moments from last year's team that you can kind of detail to us a little bit?
I mean, like you said, back-to-back conference championships, it's something the school has never done. We did a lot of first things, two playoff home games that we won, regional championship, state final appearance. Obviously, it's great beating conference rivals, comeback wins in the state semifinal game. It's an amazing feeling going out there with your brothers and competing at a really high level.
Yeah, and you and your squad were undefeated in the MSAC, scoring 35-plus points per game in the regular season. Why was your offense so spectacular throughout the whole part of the season?
I mean, we got playmakers all over the place. You know, top receiver Austin Jensen, who's making these crazy catches, making guys miss all the time. Ethan Green, another receiver, another guy who's going to come down with a lot of balls, make guys miss. Two guys that are extremely hard to tackle. Tailback Brady Keefe, who's really tough runner, north and south. And I just had a great offensive line. Like, they were relentless, man. Very strong, very willing to put their bodies on the line for the good of the team.
Yeah, I got to call some of those guys you mentioned, they were playing basketball as well throughout the season. I believe Montebello played Sacred Heart for basketball, and I got to see some of those guys on the court. They were they could shoot the ball, too, from range, and I'm sure they did a phenomenal job, like you mentioned, giving high praise from their quarterback, too. But shifting to, I guess, the 8-man Divisional One final game in the Superior Dome, first off, what was your experience like playing in the Superior Dome last season?
I mean, it was tough. I was trying to balance taking it all in, but still being locked in at the same time. You know, it's a great experience. Very few people can say that they've done. It was definitely different for us playing indoors on turf, but we practiced the whole week for it, going up to CMU, practicing in their facility. Very grateful that they let us use that for that time. But it was just overall great experience. Very blessed to be there.
Yeah, and you mentioned preparation. You got to practice at Central Michigan University inside. What was that preparation like leading up to that state final game?
I mean, overall, practices were pretty normal outside of being indoors. It was just more so getting used to the feel of turf and being inside. You know, the lighting's always different in there. Receivers are, like, getting adjusted to it. That turf feel is always different than being on normal grass. So it was a good adjustment. I'm glad we were able to do it.
Yeah, and on a day-to-day or week-to-week basis, getting ready for a Friday night football game, what kind of goes into Coach Webb's practices?
We typically start out Mondays are pretty easy. We go into a film study, quick overview of how we did the week before and some looks we're going to see from the defense and then some things we're going to do. And then we head out for a quick walkthrough and conditioning. Then Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we really hammer down on perfecting what we're working on the rest of the week. And then Thursdays, a more laid back day, like we walk through some things, maybe put in some final touches last second. But overall, I think week by week, we do a great job of prepping for our opponents.
Personally, do you prefer more home games or do you prefer road games better?
I mean, both are nice. It's always great to play in front of your home crowd, but I feel like an even better feeling going out to someone else's field and beating them on their home turf. But either is great. I love them both.
Yeah, you just want to get out there and play some ball. Am I correct with that?
Yes, sir.
Hang tight. We'll be right back on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, powered by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
The best sports show in Central Michigan. The Buck 92.3 Sports Show on Buck 92.3, where country legends live, and streaming at buck92.com, continues next in just minutes.
With traditions and belief deeply rooted into cultural history, the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe is proud to present one of our seven grandfather teachings in what it means to be a Chippewa. Wisdom. To live with wisdom is to acquire and use experiences as guides for making equitable and mature decisions. This message and what it means to be a Chippewa is brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future.
Welcome back to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, streaming on Buck 92.3 and buck92.com. Hosted by sports director Austin Shattuck and JW, let's dive back into Central Michigan sports.
As promised, here's more of the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, brought to you by the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, working together for our future. Obviously, like we mentioned, we were talking about the state championship game. It wasn't quite the result you wanted, falling to Martin, but it was a great season for you and your squad. Well, what's going to be going into your senior offseason and eventually starting your senior year this coming fall? What's been kind of happening this offseason for you personally and maybe for the Montebello Mustangs on the field throughout this offseason?
I mean, me personally, I've just been very consistent with going to weight rooms as much as I can, getting as many reps, throwing with my receivers, building great connection. And just the vibe in the weight room is completely different. Like, we're hungry this year. We're wanting to get back there, doing everything in our power to win as many games as we can while still, like, having fun.
Okay, which makes sense. And you mentioned earlier in the interview a couple of key guys, receivers, tailbacks. Are most of those guys coming back with you this year, or are they kind of graduated from last year?
Everyone I mentioned besides Brady Keefe will be returning. We'll have... Oh, and our guard, Gavin Simmons, but we'll still have guys that'll fill those roles, and I think we'll do really well there.
That's good to hear. So it sounds like you're bringing back some experience from, you know, from your team getting to play at the Superior Dome last year and bringing that into this year as well for Coach Webb. So it's obviously going to help not only you out, but Coach Webb as well. And for you, one more question, Gabe. It's been a busy offseason for you as you got to, like you mentioned, compete in a junior day visit at Elma and compete for some Ivy League schools on the east side of the United States. What has those experiences kind of been like for you?
I mean, it's always great checking out college campuses, seeing what the coaching environment, the player environment is like. It was a phenomenal experience out east. It was just so amazing to see all these like classic Ivy League schools, see what they're about, get real coaching from them, and just check out what, you know, like Rhode Island, Boston, all those areas have. It's amazing. Love it all.
Did you spend, I imagine you spent probably weekends out there, or did you kind of take a weekday, or what, you know, did you fly? Kind of detail those out.
Oh yeah. When we went out east, we drove and spent the entire week out there. So we kind of had like a good idea of how to spend the week, so we weren't just boarding a hotel in the days I wasn't out doing college camps.
And speaking of college camps, this actually just came up to me. You, before we just met, got to interview Xavier Crazier, a counterpart of yours, a quarterback for Mount Pleasant, a couple of weeks ago. You mentioned competing in off-season camps. What has it been like competing with him and seeing him kind of excel at a high level as well?
It's really great. I've known him for a little bit now, and he's a great guy. Like I've said before to other people, like, he's a great person, great competitor, and I've always taken it as an iron sharpens iron type deal. I want to see him succeed, and I also want to compete with him. So it's great seeing him out there.
Yeah, that's always good seeing when you get high praise from different quarterbacks across the state. So that's always good. Gabe, we want to thank you for coming on. It sounds like you guys have a great senior season coming up with a lot of returners, yourself as well, and a lot of your talented wide receivers and running backs and a couple offensive line members as well. So Gabe, thank you for coming on our show today. Good luck with your senior season coming up and good luck with your future as well.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Buck 92.3 Sports Show, your award-winning home for Central Michigan sports coverage. Thanks for joining JW and Sports Director Austin Shattuck as we break down the games, the players, and the stories that make local sports special.
Missed part of the show? No problem. You can listen to this show and past shows at MyMichiganPodcast.com. Just click on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.
Join us every Monday evening at 7 right here on Buck 92.3, where country legends live. And streaming worldwide at Buck92.com for the Buck 92.3 Sports Show.